Just a few years ago, it was rare for a county to have a problem-solving court, a separate track for high-risk, high-needs offenders most likely to get into trouble again and again. But problem-solving courts have spread, winning over skeptics by proving their value to the criminal justice system. McLean County has three such courts: drug court, recovery court for those with serious mental illness, and a new one for veterans. Around 600 judges, lawyers, law enforcement officers, and mental health and substance abuse treatment professionals met last week in Normal. GLT's Ryan Dunham was there and spoke to Judge Jeffrey Ford, the president of the Illinois Association of Problem-Solving Courts, about the future of this approach to criminal justice and behavior modification.
I have a guy right now who used to be basically a gangbanger who's now working at Burger King and loving it. And he gets, you know, insults from all the old people that used to be around, but he's realized life is so much better this way. And you can't imagine when first gets a job working at Burger King how excited he was. And I have a lot of people like that. We've had graduates now who are, I have them working all over in Champaign-Urbana. They have moved up their managers in different places. They've started their own businesses and doing well. And these are people who really never worked much in their life. Mm-hmm. So instead of taking away from the tax base, they're adding to it. Families are staying together. DCFS isn't getting called. There's less police reports on these people. And I'd have people who'd been to the penitentiary numerous times, kept them out of the penitentiary, kept them in their home, and just now they're thriving.
To a layman like me, it seems that problem-solving courts are a relatively new thing for the state of Illinois, but is it actually true? How long have they been around in this type of format?
I didn't realize, but in 1991, I took over traffic court in Champaign County, and I changed the way we did DUIs, and it wasn't for another 10 years before the research came out on drug courts that I was really running a drug court for DUIs, which is now called a DUI court. And it was, the first drug court was in 1989 in Miami, and then they've kind of gone from there. But they're in all 50 states. They're in countries all over the world now. And then, of course, mental health courts and mental health courts came on after that.
So in McLean County here at Bloomington Normal, we have, I believe, a drug court, a recovery court for those with serious mental illness, and most recently added a veterans court. So where does that put us in terms of other counties around the state? Is it pretty common to have that kind of mix, or are we an outlier in some way?
No, you're not an outlier. In a mental health court, you don't get as many people as you would in a drug court. Veterans courts are harder just because, again, there are veterans out there, but not everybody qualifies, and some don't want it. Some counties can establish them. In Champaign County, we basically have a track in our drug court for veterans where when I have a veteran, I call the VA. We're working on a mentorship program for mentors for them, so this would be a special thing. But no, most counties that have the financial ability to do so will have drug court and try and have a mental health court and veterans court also.
And you mentioned financial ability. So what are some of the limits of problem-solving courts? Is there, beyond the limit to the volume of cases you can take on, do you find that there are limits that the public should know about?
Well, one of the limits we need is that we need a certain population. We're wasting money if we don't have medium to high risk, high needs. Because the research has shown they can do just as well on regular probation. And we can't mix those populations. If we put a high risk person in with a low needs person, what we're going to do is make that low needs person is going to become a better criminal, because we mix them together. So we can't mix the population. The problem that we're starting to have is that some politicians or other look at this and say, well, we should just open this up to everybody, and then you're just going to dilute the monetary value the savings that we're having and the effectiveness of it, because we're going to end up mixing populations too. So if we stay with the distinct populations that the research says we get the best results from, that's where we should be. Now, again, they're voluntary, so a lot of people don't want to. A lot of people are very comfortable in their addiction. They know they can do the time in the penitentiary, the time in the jail. They'll get out. They can just go back to using again. Addiction never really goes away. A lot of what we teach in the drug court is how to handle situations. First, how to change people, places, and things to keep you away from those situations. But this is life. You're going to end up in a situation like that. How do you handle it so you don't relapse? Mm-hmm. And so it's very difficult because the brain doesn't forget these things and they don't forget the drugs.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here with Judge Jeff Ford from Champaign County, who's president of the Illinois Association of Problem-Solving Courts. It's hosting its sixth annual conference at the Bloomington-Normal Marriott this week with around 600 attendees. So, Judge Ford, you've got at least one session at this conference on medical marijuana. So what are some of the unique challenges that the medical marijuana's growth can cause for problem-solving courts?
Let's start with the beginning. Most of the people who use started out with either alcohol or cannabis or both. If we get them back with the situation, we're trying to keep them clean, and all of a sudden they smell that familiar smell. They see the acts that everybody else is doing that got them in trouble. They're going to regress. It's hard, people, places, and things, if you're walking down the street and you start smelling that smell again. So it's going to be a very difficult situation for our people. And you have a lot of people, when I was doing DUIs, I'd get somebody who was 20 and say, well, you know, I'll be able to drink when I'm 21, and I'll look at their reports on their substance abuse problems and say, no, you really shouldn't. Well, it's legal. That doesn't matter, because this is going to take you down for the rest of your life unless you change. And it's the same thing with cannabis. One of the problems with cannabis is it's harder to detect than a breathalyzer test. So the technology has not caught up to that, but the research from Colorado and Washington and places where it's legal is traffic collisions are up there just because of that in and of itself. Cannabis presents its own special problems, but if somebody thinks it's not addictive, no, it can be very addictive. There is higher and higher potencies, and it's now we have edibles, we have oils, and depending upon the THC content or what it's mixed with, because they will mix other drugs in the cannabis, it can be very dangerous, especially to the population that's in a drug court or a mental health court or even a veterans court.
So we've got drug courts, mental health recovery courts, veterans courts, there are DUI courts. So are there other categories of problem-solving courts that are emerging that there are that you've seen in counties around the state that could spread to other places?
There are some. The one interesting one where it was kind of a oh moment for me was when Cook County started a prostitution court. But then I started thinking about it and thought, that makes a whole lot of sense. You have a specific population with a specific problem. Most of the people in that court, of course, are female. A lot of this would have been traumatic for them, how they got in and their addiction problems. So there's a lot of similarities. Why not separate them out and have their own court? There's a movement, and there's what's called, there's juvenile drug courts too, which poses different problems than a regular adult drug court, but they're catching on. It's much more expensive, because when you have a juvenile, you feel like a hypocrite as a judge where the problem's at home and you have to send them back at home because it's a delinquency matter and not an abuse neglect matter, and then they're back in that same environment. So if the problem is at home and if the parents are using but they haven't committed a crime yet, we may end up having to treat 3, 4, 5 people instead of one that we would in a drug court. There are family recovery courts now, which are more like our abuse neglect courts in the state of Illinois, but they geared more towards some of the drug court, mental health court principles. Although in Illinois, when you talk about a juvenile, whether it's abuse, neglect, or delinquency, since the late 1800s, Illinois has treated juveniles differently. We were one of the first states. And so the judge has always been allowed to do more in those courts than they were in a criminal court or anything else. So for a family court or juvenile drug court, it's much more moving in the way that Illinois has been moving for over 100 years now.
So as you look to the next 5 to 10 years, what are going to be some of the challenges, some of the opportunities, and some of the biggest issues that face the problem-solving court community in Illinois?
The way we run, of course, is we need the ability, the financial resources to be able to go forward. Almost every court, not all of them, started with hundreds of thousands of dollars of grant money. And some continue to run because they continue to get grants, but eventually they have to become self-supporting. The communities really have to step up and help. These courts, if done correctly, save millions for every county that they're operating in. Because, as I said before, less crime, people staying there, working, keeping families together, so DCFS is left out, the police are left out, businesses don't have as much damage just to pay for, insurance companies don't have as much. I mean, there's huge savings, not just talking about days in the penitentiary. There's less days in the penitentiary because these people aren't going, but they're staying at home and they're starting to thrive and pay taxes. So the communities are getting a benefit, but we need the communities to really to step up and start paying for some of these things and taking over for the grants. Other problem is we don't know what drugs are coming down the line. You've heard about synthetics. There's synthetic cannabis. There's synthetic cocaine that's out there. And of course, the medical community is hard-pressed to react because somebody says, oh, I was just smoking, you know, cannabis or marijuana. And no, they weren't, but they didn't know. And, of course, their body, their pulse, their blood pressure, everything else is not acting like they were taking marijuana, and they can't tell them what was in that. The synthetic opioids or synthetic cocaine, I'm sorry, there's the reaction to some of that is almost a psychotic reaction, where people would end up in a locked psych ward, really not needing it, but they've got so many psychotic features, they have to wait until this drug passes or even months after that to make a determination if this person really has a psychosis problem or if it's all from the synthetic drug they took. And there's new synthetic drugs coming out all the time. They're harder to test for, because the drug companies don't make tests for them unless they become illegal, because then it's not profitable to, so it's hard to test for. So these are some of the problems that are going to be with us for a while.
Champaign County Judge Jeffrey Ford says another recent development in problem-solving courts is that individual counties now have to prove they're meeting the Illinois Supreme Court's standards for how these courts should work. Judge Ford is head of the Illinois Association of Problem-Solving Courts, which drew 600 people to Normal for its conference. He spoke with GLT's Ryan Denham.